Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor specialist John and McKenna are back. Whoa, we're in the wrong spots. All right, there we go.
This is your podcast. I'm the guest this time.
Listen, I still can't be on that side of the screen. And we are talking Survivor AU instead of the Survivor Rewind. John is replacing Phil today because he did the Ron Clark event and couldn't get up this morning at 12. So we decided to put in John here. And it's your first time talking AU this season. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm actually enjoying this season quite a lot so far. It got off to a bit of a rocky start where it kind of felt like every other Australian season, no new host. How is that going to fit into it? But overall, it's kind of hit its stride. It hasn't gone full Australian Survivor, where we're doing so many non-eliminations and so many twists that it feels really reductive. And it's been really fun, even if we're seeing a lot of bad gameplay amidst a bunch of good gameplay.
Yeah, I think this season of AU has been one of my favorites so far because it hasn't been Australian Survivor. It's just been Survivor, which is nice. It hasn't gone completely off the rails. So I'm excited to get to talk about these three episodes. I feel like they were a banger set of three episodes to be able to talk about for you to come on for your first AU and for Phil to not be here for, which is lame. But I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm a little worried about how excited you are about this third boot, though. You've been waiting for it all season and it's finally here.
Why are you concerned?
Because I just have a feeling you're going to talk about it a lot, that's all.
Well, then I'll save it for the end. But no, yes, Simon goes out this episode and I was happy. I was happy that Keely and Brooke survived by the skins of their teeth. These three episodes, Keely has really grown to be one of my absolute favorite AU players. And after the season's over, I have to really sit down and think, is she? Because might be rivaling Sarah right now after Sarah's AU versus the world, showing, but I love Keely so much.
I get that. Keely has been one of the players that we've seen a lot of. I think she's like third for confessionals on the season now or something like that.
No, I think she's first. Is she not first now?
She's second. She's still behind Mark.
Oh, okay.
But she, and because she was so closely tied to Mark early on in the game, we saw a lot of her. We got to learn a lot about her. I think she is one of the returning players we know a lot, or sorry, the non-returning players that we know the most about. Even if it is mostly from like a game perspective, and she's been a little quieter since the merge. She had like that big merge episode. She disappeared for a couple. And this is kind of how the AU edit works sometimes, where someone will have a big episode and then we won't hear from them. I think there's actually someone who I said to you last week, I think they might have a chance of winning. Like, I understand why people are saying that based on Edric when it comes to Caleb winning. And then he didn't have a confessional for two episodes this week. So what do I know?
Yeah, I don't see the Caleb win. I don't know if I will see the Caleb win, but if that happens, more power to him. All right, let's get into these episodes. We have the Kaput Alliance. That was a theme throughout the entire of these three episodes. That's basically Brooke and Keely, with Simon floating on the outside of that, but Simon's making his own wheels and deals here. And then you also have Jackson a little bit toward the end of these three episodes who joins in on this Kaput Alliance. But it's like the solid core is just the Keely Brooke Alliance here, because they think they're pretty much done in the game unless certain circumstances happen, which is Simon win immunity and then the bluffs on the idols and the changing of plans. So I want them to keep working together forever.
Well, I don't know how possible that is after this week, McKenna, because I think they're pretty kaput. Granted, they said that at the beginning of this week and they somehow both managed to make it through this week.
Right.
But I can't see the results of this week leading to anything other than Brooke and Keely eventually being ousted from this game because they are so on the outs now.
Yeah, I mean, without Simon as a vote for them, I can understand why, but Simon also crumbles a bit under pressure like he did at that first vote. Mm-hmm. So I can see why they would still vote out Simon and not go to Rox, because he isn't a 100% ally in their corner. He's an ally if that serves him and he has the necklace.
Yeah, it's tough because I think this is one of those big arguments where you have to consider shields. Because shields were discussed
a little bit too, of like, we have to see if this works out see if it's a good move or not.
Yeah, kind of. But then we're getting into confirmation bias, and I really don't like confirmation bias, especially in Survivor, because it doesn't let you analytically really analyze things, because you're basing all of your decisions on results rather than on actual percentages of how good a move works for you. And the thing with this alliance with Simon there, I think the big topic this entire week was shields, right? We have the returning players being like, okay, we have to like make this focus on the bigger people on the newbie side so that they can kind of be shields for us. And we even see a lot of conversations between Jackson and Ben about the returning players being shields for them.
Yeah.
Because they're immediately going to be targeted if those returning players are gone. And I believe that's completely correct.
Yes, 100%.
They 100% would have been. And
the other people confirmed that too, of like, they had a little group and they were like, yeah, we're going to vote out Ben and Jackson once we get down to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we see Jackson kind of get ahead of that in the second episode, but I don't like Jackson's chances now either. I just think, when you look at this, these players needed to really work together. And Simon going really completely prevents that from being able to happen, not just because he's not in the game, but it's because now all eyes are on Brooke. Like, I don't see how you couldn't just be like, okay, Brooke, you don't win immunity, you're gone.
I see that there. She also does have half an idol that I think Caleb finds in the preview.
Based on the preview, it seems like Caleb finds the other half, and I don't know how good that's going to be.
That's not going to be great at all. He's just going to be like, well, I'll hoard the other half, so you can't have an idol. So there is that, where potentially they could have a working relationship, maybe. But if we look at them going to Rocks, Simon is now safe on Rocks. Keely has a chance of pulling one, and Jackson has a chance of pulling one. So there's the Simon is 100% staying, and then your closest ally that you trust and know is going to vote with you is eligible to be going home. So I understand why Brooke switched to go to Simon, because Simon did write her name down and she wanted to protect Keely from Rocks. If it were Keely the one in the tie, then I'd say she's not flipping here. I think she's going to Rocks because she's safe, Keely's safe, and then if we lose Simon or Jackson, it's whatever, we'll deal with it. But I think because Keely wasn't safe, she's like, I don't know if I can risk this.
All right. Now that you've opened the bag of Rocks, we can talk about the Rocks of this week, because it frustrated me so much that we didn't actually
end up. Pam frustrated me the entire week. And yes, all of a sudden he has 10 confessionals when he had 8 weeks of zero or something like that. I'm like, Cam needs to sit back down.
Yeah. But that was what really frustrated me about this week of Survivor. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought, like, again, the gameplay was pretty messy, but it's okay because it doesn't feel like anyone's really playing game above anyone. And I've said it many times on many different podcasts. My favorite seasons of Survivor are the ones where everyone is kind of on like this equal playing field and they just like play a little messy. It's entertaining that way. And at this point, I don't think Simon or Brooke are playing that much above the newbie players. I think they're making similar mistakes as some of the newbie players. They are definitely better at the game. And we see that for these first two episodes this week. Mm-hmm. What Brooke and Simon are able to pull off in this is absurd, in all honesty. The fact that we get through three whole episodes with only one of them going home at the discretion of the other is wild. It's beyond what I could have thought. But the fact that these three episodes essentially built up to this potential rock draw, for us not to get a rock draw, is infuriating.
I'm not as mad at that because it happens so often in US where it's like, we're going to go to Rocks and then we don't. We don't see a rock draw for so many seasons. But yet Rocks has been talked about. So I wasn't as upset about that. I was upset, I guess, with, I feel like Cam is playing similar to Mitch of like, I gotta make my big move. And it's like, when is your timing of make the big move? You had so you had these opportunities, Cam. Mm-hmm. These were good moves for you to make. They weren't just like big moves for the sake of big moves. So where do you lie? Are you one of these, you know, sheep that and passengers that are like floating along, or are you going to start playing your own game? And I think he just kept getting too scared.
I don't know if he's getting scared or if he's methodically thinking through. See, this is the problem with the idea of like a big move is what's needed to win Survivor. And it is, right? Like, we've seen so much conversation about it. Like, it's not like the biggest thing, but you need something to kind of like stick your name to. Just one thing.
Yeah, I think I don't think the Ben boot would have been bad for him. And then you like duck out because then have other people try and, you know, do something. Like, joining in on the Ben boot doesn't, you know, hurt him, doesn't cause that big of a wave, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is something that Cameron could have hopped in on and then kind of faded back out. Gone back to the people he was working with and be like, okay guys, like, let's do this, let's just make this work. Yep. Like, these, because the returning players are still like the bigger threats. Exactly. And I think that's kind of the danger of when we like get into the second episode where it's Jackson who ends up flipping, is actually way worse for Cameron, because Jackson is the type of person who would stick with those players. Mm-hmm. And we see that in the next episode, right? In that third episode this week, we see Jackson sticks with the returnees because he's the big threat. And you know, with Ben gone, he legitimately has to glom onto them in order to survive this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jackson being the, also just that in general, Jackson being the one to flip on Ben was wild. I don't think that was the best move for Jackson necessarily to make at this moment. Mm-hmm. I think it would have definitely been a better suited if Cam were the one to flip, because Jackson doesn't have anybody riding for him in his corner. I mean, yes, now Keely, Brooke, and Simon are a little bit, but not as intensely as Ben was. And they're looked at as a duo, obviously. But in AU, I feel like the duos are known, and it's just like, oh yeah, they're a pair. And it doesn't mm-hmm. feel as we gotta separate them as much as American Survivor. Yes, they did separate the pair and acknowledged it, but it was because it was Simon, Brooke, Keely from the other side. Mm-hmm. That other alliance was going to ride with them to five, no problem, and then pick them off, or six, whatever it was.
And that's, I think, getting to the point I was trying to make, is like, timing is so important in Survivor. And there's mm-hmm. so much emphasis from these newbie players this week on the idea of like, I have to make my move. I have to do something to differentiate myself. We saw the returnee players kind of pitching that to the newbie players as a way for them to like come over to their set, right? Like, you have mm-hmm. to differentiate yourself from someone or from everyone else, because otherwise, like, how's the jury going to know who to vote for? But the thing is, it's bad timing to do that. I think it would have actually been a mistake for Cam to flip over here. I think the correct move was for none of them to flip and to keep just like whittling down these returnees, because if the returnees are pitching, hey, you need to make a move to differentiate yourself, that means it's beneficial for the returnees for you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up here of like what to do. I think certain players, it's better to not do anything, like Jackson, but I think players like Cam, who could easily float back into Laws, float back into Sally Blanche if she would, doesn't go in that tribal council. You know, he's easier welcomed back, because it's like, oops, sorry, I just did a thing and now I'm back. Where Jackson doing that really like separates him from the rest of the group.
The problem with Jackson's move is Jackson is turning on his number one. Yes. Not just like his perceived number one, but his actual number one. Is that bad for him in the long run? I don't think so, because I think Ben still votes for Jackson in the end.
Oh,
Jackson
yeah. sitting. Yes.
However, the problem is no one knows if they can trust you now, because you mm-hmm. betrayed your closest ally that was so visibly close to you.
Of people still left in the game, too.
Yeah. Like,
we gotta do that 5-6.
Yeah. It's so early. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm getting at with when it comes to timing, right? Like, I think Jackson is supposed to flip on Ben if he wants to win the game, but is this too early for that to work? And like, yeah, we kind of have to get into confirmation bias. Like you said, we kind of have to wait out the rest of the season to see who this pays off for. Is Brooke turning on Simon going to ultimately lead to Brooke's win, or is it going to lead to her just falling short? Is Jackson flipping on Ben going to make him win? There are so many questions I have. I mean, Bandit Survivor content in the comments here says at this stage, David Gennett might win the season because every contestant has a lot of holes. There's just so many different aspects to this game. The editing of Australian Survivor is really hard to read when we're so mm-hmm. used to reading American Survivor edits. I don't know who's winning this season at this point, and I'm kind of loving that. I like being this late in the game and not knowing.
Yeah, because I feel like it has to be Brooke, Keely, Jackson.
I think Cameron's edit came on too late, so it can't be Cameron.
Caleb took a dip right here, and unless he surges back.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb could just be like that swell and could come back.
Sally, I don't think is in this.
I don't think Sally or Laws.
I don't think Laws can do this. Laws could be in the final tribal council. I could see that, but I don't see him winning it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is probably one of those three plus Caleb, Cameron with an outside shot, but it's hard to determine when it comes to Australian Survivor sometimes.
So another big thing here was Simon's 100 days.
Yeah.
that was a big, big point throughout, I think, even all three episodes, because he's like, I didn't think I'd make it to 100. Now I'm at 102. Now I'm at whatever, and just like extended it out. So he joins the ranks of people who have played 100 plus days of Survivor, which that's crazy to say, like, I was out living outside for 100 days. So that really is a immense congratulations to Simon to be able to last that long, and also then win immunity to secure his spot for 100 days as well. I was so proud of Laws during that challenge too, because she was killing it. But he just has those big beefy muscles that it's hard to beat him at. And it's, I almost wonder, like, should they have tried to get rid of Simon earlier?
When did they have a chance?
Yeah, I guess he was winning the entire pre-merge.
I think that's what it really comes down to. And Simon's at it in the pre-merge. He was definitely the, as much as, like, we didn't see a lot of Brooke in the pre-merge, Simon, I feel, was the most under-edited of the returnees in that pre-merge. And I think a lot of that comes to the fact that he was winning a lot. We don't see winning tribes that much. We do a little more on Australian Survivor because there's so much time dedicated to the show, but we don't tend to see winning tribes all that much. I just don't think they really ever had a good time to get Simon out prior to this.
So we also got the IKEA reward in the first episode too.
This might be the greatest Survivor reward of all time. Get out of here, Applebee's. Like, this is hilarious. I burst out laughing.
I also really liked this version of, like, the balancing rope situation, because it seems a little bit more difficult than American Survivor. Yes, they have, like, skinnier metal poles that they have to deal with, but also they're, like, anchor is so much lower.
I think a lot of it comes down to, we've talked about this on the Rewind, McKenna, this challenge is kind of broken. It was broken during Heroes, Healers, Hustlers.
Yeah.
Because it's very obvious that you can just, like, hold tension on all the points and then walk. That only really works when you're balancing something in the middle of the stage, the disc, right? Because this was putting cylinders on the outside of the disc and the inside of the disc, it did really kind of change the way you had to approach it.
Yeah, and I want to say even that their anchor was lower than US has been too. So it's like, you can't, you're really, you know, toying with the level of it. And Simon had experience in this challenge, and he was able to lead his group to victory for it, to get those IKEA meatballs that had chicken, they had meatballs, they had vegan meatballs.
Listen, IKEA meatballs are kind of overrated, but also kind of delicious. And after being out on this island for so long, just having here is meat as a reward is pretty awesome.
But I think the biggest part of the reward was not the meatballs, but it was Simon's balls to say, I'm going to pull two rocks for whoever joins us.
Okay, what did you think of this? Because I'm so torn about if this is a good idea or not.
I was like, that's a crazy strategy. I was like, can he even pull two rocks? Like, I was like, AU could do something weird, because they also had let you pass off an idol after you've been voted out, where US doesn't, you know, so they have, like, little twists to rules where I wouldn't put it past them to be like, all right, yeah, Simon, sure, you can pull two rocks. So I was like, actually not a bad ploy if you're able to do this and just be like, I'm not pulling two rocks. But he literally can't, and David at the end was just like, Simon, what?
I think this is Simon really underestimating his opponents. That being said, it seemed like everyone believed him that he would do this. So maybe he is the only one who accurately knows the rule about rocks, is that only you can only draw one at a time. But it's a gamble to make a lie like this that is so rooted in the rules preventing you from doing it.
That's true.
Because
it's like, not your choice to not do it. It's like literally the rules, and you knew the rules.
Yeah, so it seems a little scummy that way. Mm-hmm. But if no one else knows the rule, then take advantage of it. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is one of the strategies people don't use in Survivor enough. It's like, what is your knowledge on this situation? Okay, you don't know how this works, then I can take advantage of it. And saying, hey, I'll take two rocks, and then I'll just, you know, whoever comes to our side doesn't have to draw a rock. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, like, that sounds interesting. It also sounds like something that production might be like, oh, this is great TV, just do it.
Yeah. And also, it would be, I feel like I would want to make that, you know, do that move that Simon did, because it's like, I already could be going home. Mm-hmm. So like, why not pull two rocks, you know? Yeah. But Simon winds up winning immunity. We don't go to rocks. But what we do have is the fake idol-making class here. Wow. And this master class at Tribal Council, where I don't know if this was exactly the plan of how they wanted to work the fake idol, where they would all then dump more on Brooke and leave Keely alone, which is what they shouldn't have done. They should have stuck to their plan and put votes on both. But... Mm-hmm. Then that left Brooke open to be for the actual idol to be played on. And I thought this was such a big misplay by the other side to let Blanche go home here. Yes, she hasn't been playing the best, but she's a number for you.
It's really tough here. I think there is this risk that both these idols are real. I think Ben and Jackson correctly clock that Brooks one is fake.
Real fake. Yeah, she wouldn't be hiding it that much. That like the way sure. Brooke played it gave fake idol vibes all over the place.
It looked a lot like an idol, but it didn't look a lot like an idol beside another idol. Is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense how she played it. I thought it was weird that they passed it under this blanket. I thought it was weird there was a blanket in the first place at Tribal Council, but...
They're cold.
They are. I get it.
For a long time.
I get it. But it's just like, I don't think I've ever seen a blanket at Tribal Council before. I might be wrong there. Maybe I'm just not paying close enough attention to people's laps in Tribal Council.
Yeah.
But...
You gotta check it, John.
I think this was the safe move. I think Blanche wasn't needed. I think you still go in with a 5-4 majority into the next mm-hmm. boot. Like, you're in a safe spot here to sacrifice Blanche in case of these idols. If these idols are real, they're both being played. It is the safer thing to do. Blanche isn't driving anything. Blanche is someone you can keep later in the game. I think what it really comes down to is Ben was scared. Because yeah. Ben knew he was the one going home if both these idols were real.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you gotta, like, just risk it for the biscuit. I don't know. Yes, Blanche was the safe move to protect his game, but then he just went out next round. Not that he could predict it, but, like, you're always going to be a target unless you get out one of your targets. And by removing the votes from both Keely and Brooke, you could have told Simon, vote Blanche. Mm-hmm. Instead of vote Brooke, and then had some one of your alliance, you know, you could, what would the numbers be with Simon? 6 or 7?
All you needed to do was get to a point where there were two votes on Blanche to go for the two on
the Blanche. Yeah.
I think that is what they were going for, though. I think they were going for 3 votes on Blanche to because they thought there were 3 votes on Ben, right? They weren't sure if Simon was going to vote for them with them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was really tough. They were in a tough situation to navigate a double idol play.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the numbers to split on Brooke, Keely, and Blanche.
Mm-hmm.
So for Ben, it made sense to do this.
Yeah.
And Ben was the one driving that entire vote and that entire side of the tribe, in all honesty.
What are your thoughts on Simon caving here and voting Brooke and not just sticking with his alliance where he is immune from the vote and is in no danger of going home with this idol play?
I understand why he does it. And I think it's mostly derived from the fact that he didn't know about the idols. Right? If you have I don't think he wasn't told about, he at least wasn't told about the fake.
I know, but it's like, all right, great. Then it's a Kelly Wentworth situation where it's just like, great, you have the idol? Perfect, protect yourself.
But I think like the problem is like, I think Ben really gets in Simon's ear here, where he's like, oh, did you know about this? This is such a big move that's so dependent on Simon winning immunity in order to work in the first place, that the fact that Simon isn't involved in it does make you feel a little unsettled if you're that player in that situation. It's like, why aren't I being involved in this?
Well, he would have been involved more if, like, Brooke won immunity, for example. Then he would have had the fake idol. They still would have had the whole plan going down. I do... Why they didn't clue him in a little bit, I don't know. But at the same time, it's just like, these are the people who have shown that they are riding with you.
I think there's just a fear that they're riding with him out of convenience rather than actually wanting to work with him in the game.
I think Keely for sure, but I think Brooke was definitely working with him.
Yeah, how well did that go for him?
Because he wrote her name down. In my opinion, it all stems from that vote that he caved on.
I just think I understand Simon's standpoint in this. It makes sense if you, because this is so big, and this is one of those things that's like, your alliance is literally planning this massive move, but they don't key you in on it. And like you said, had Brooke won immunity instead, they would have let him in on it. But if that's the case, then again, you're still in this situation where it's like, okay, why are they just telling me about this now? When it seems like they've had, because of the intricacies of the fake idol and everything, it just seems like, you know, there's so much forethought put into it. It feels weird that if you are actually a tight three, you weren't included in on that plan at all.
Yeah, I get it, but I feel like that's no reason to flip. That's a reason to talk about it at camp.
Sure. I don't think it's a reason to flip on Brooke. I think like the vote on Brooke was silly because I think it was so easy to read that idol, that if only one of those idols was real, it was being played on Brooke. But it's what it is.
So the Ben boot, basically they just, you know, convince Jackson he's got to separate himself and move over with them, which this wasn't really, even though the boot was big, the episode wasn't as like monumental as some of the other two with like the inner workings around camp and things like that. And I was just so shocked that it was Jackson who flipped.
Yes. I actually thought we were going to lead the other way. As David's there reading the votes, I thought this was coming up for Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Brooke was going home because Simon flipped, or because like Cameron was lying to them the entire time.
Yeah.
It felt like it was leading to Brooke to see Ben go here. Mm-hmm. It feels weird because it's the middle episode of this entire like trilogy we get here.
Yeah.
It's the shorter episode of the week, and it feels like Ben was such a bigger character at this point. He deserves a bigger send-off.
But he wasn't that big in the beginning, so I feel like it's an accurate send-off here where he, like, flew too close to the sun and then left.
I agree. It's just the work Simon puts into this vote is spectacular. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly how to appeal to Jackson's ego. He knows exactly what to say. There's the entire conversation at Tribal Council where Simon tells Jackson, listen, like, you're in the WWE. Are you going for the easy pin, or are you going for like the top rope right now? And it really appeals to Jackson as a performer and just as someone who wants that glory, right? Like, it's been very obvious for a while that Jackson wants that type of attention in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants this big move. And he is the exact type of person to come through. So, like, congratulations. You see Brooke and Keely kind of working on Cameron the entire time, which ends up going absolutely nowhere. But Simon is putting in the work with Jackson the entire time, and it ends up paying off.
Yeah, to be able to flip someone on their number one, crazy. I think then one of the biggest points of the next episode is the family visit. Well, family videos. And they haven't had much for family stuff this season, because I feel like there's a lot of like just trickling ins of family things. Like they had the mugs, they have these videos. It usually feels like we get hit with letters somewhere. I don't know if they got letters yet.
We didn't have an auction.
That's true, but sometimes just they're at reward.
Yeah, but it feels like this is kind of the way Australian Survivor does approach these families and stuff, right? Like their family visits are almost always in the finale.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
So it does feel like we get these like spaced out a little bit more. They usually build up. The fact that we went from like, here's some pictures to, by the way, here's a video was kind of a big jump. It does feel weird that we didn't have letters, but all I could think while I was watching the segment is like, why isn't American Survivor doing this? Why aren't we getting videos from home in American Survivor? Like, they're literally at the sanctuary in this reward.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the big things that Cam and Simon were discussing were who to take on the reward. Mm-hmm. Cameron's like, we should take Brooke and Laws. And Simon's like, yep. And then Cam's like, I'll take Brooke. And then Simon says that he'd take Laws. And then he chooses Jackson.
There is no world where Simon is not supposed to pick Jackson here, though.
No, I thought Simon made the correct move. It's because Jackson made the flip and you got to make him good with you. Mm-hmm. But I felt bad for Laws.
I'm not sure how to read Laws's edit this season.
Mm.
She's been like just under the radar enough. She gets mentioned a lot. We don't see her a lot. When we do see her, it's always like, man, Simon really sucks, doesn't he? He lied to me.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know where she's going after this. But we were also given this opportunity where, like, Simon and Laws were supposed to be close, right? They were in the Beauty and the Beast together at the beginning, or in that second swap and everything. So they were supposed to be close. So it made sense that we had this, like, okay, take Laws. It'll be really good for you. Cameron's clearly taking Brooke because he's just trying to play her this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And would taking Laws here be a good move for Simon? Maybe, but I don't think it gets him anything.
Mm-mm.
I think taking Jackson here is just so much better for Simon.
I agree. I think the play for Jackson is better, but it was just weird how he was like, yeah, I'll take Laws. And then it was like, sorry, I switched it. Jackson.
I just don't understand why Cameron didn't take Laws. Like, that's what it comes down to. If Cameron wanted Laws on this reward, he should have picked Laws and not picked Brooke.
I don't know. It's some of the choices are weird. And then basically the whole rest of the episode is like, so rocks. And then we're just getting all these different rock puns at camp.
Okay, rock puns, fantastic segment. Like,
yes.
You can tell how frustrated people are by it because it's just like rock pun after rock pun after rock pun. And this is again what frustrates me about these three episodes, because I don't think we were ever going to rocks here.
I don't think we were either.
Knowing that Brooke is switching her vote to Simon, again, like this kind of goes into confirmation bias, but I'm avoiding it as much. But now knowing that Brooke was willing to switch her vote, because if Brooke was someone who I thought wouldn't switch her vote, right? Especially with immunity, like there's no reason for her to switch her vote. She's in a safe spot. You're forcing a group of four down to three versus your two who are eligible to get rocks. So like odds are in your favor. I think this is the situation where you are probably supposed to push for rocks, but knowing that Brooke is willing to flip her vote onto Simon now, I don't think there is a single way the newbies were losing this vote.
Yeah.
No matter who they put the vote on, they were winning this vote no matter what.
I'm just glad that Brooke had the necklace this episode, and we did not lose Brooke. And
I actually think Brooke not having that necklace might have been better for her, because she would have been the one getting the votes, and I don't think anyone would have flipped on Brooke.
You don't think Simon would have flipped?
I don't know. Well, because in this situation, I think Simon has the necklace. So Simon has no reason
to. He said, I need to go find a deck chair, someone who folds easily. And I'm like, you're the deck chair.
I don't know. I think the way that the minority approached this was actually poor, because if they go to Rocks, there's no way Simon goes home.
Right.
So they're really... Well,
that's why I agree. I liked their plan of let's vote Laws, because we'll save her and it'll be a relationship. Like, I've used that strategy before in a game too. Vote for someone that you wouldn't mind going home, but also that you could use that relationship to have them stay.
Yeah, I understand what they're going for here. It makes sense. I think that side approached the Rocks correctly. I think the newbies didn't. I think the newbies were probably supposed to put their votes on Keely.
Yeah.
And force, because I, like you said, Simon's the deck chair. Simon's the one who folds here. You have to put the pressure on Simon to fold. If you put the votes on either Keely or Jackson, Simon's willing to do that flip. I think
putting the votes on Keely than Jackson.
I agree. And I think relying on either we didn't see enough conversations between Cameron and Brooke that, like, Brooke is willing to get rid of Simon here as a thing, or they just had this hunch that Brooke was going to flip sides. There was a chance here that you go into Rocks and the two people you actually want out from that side, and Brooke and Simon, are the two who are immune from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think this was a banger set of three episodes. I can't wait to see how we get into the end game. Phil is being a busy man, traveling and moving and so many different things. So the next AU episode will be on Wednesday morning, afternoon-ish. Sorry, we won't be live right after the episodes air, because the way the schedule is working out, we just kind of have to do AU when we can do AU. So tune in next Wednesday, and we will be live, well, maybe not live, with another episode of AU. We also have Digging Deeper later today. We have Survivor Rewind tomorrow. We've got the power rankings on Sunday. So please tune in. You'll be able to see who all the guests are. And I'm excited to see this end game wrap up here with Australian Survivor.
Are you just riding Keely to the end now? Is Keely your winner pick at this point?
You had to phrase it that way. Definitely. But yes, Keely is 100% my winner pick. Do I think she can get there? I don't know, because if Brooke's winning the immunities, Keely's getting voted out at some point. Do you have a winner pick, John? Out of everybody here,
it's Brooke. I'll never vote against Brooke. I'm sorry. Brooke's one of my favorite Australian Survivors of all time. Like, there is no way I'm voting against Brooke. I was so happy to see that she was coming back for this season. I was interested to see how she would approach it as a new mother. It's been a lot of her story. So much so that I think she has to get to the family visit at this point. Like, she's been talking about her family the entire time. It would really suck if she doesn't. But I just don't know how she navigates the... What? I guess we have 2 more weeks of Australian Survivor.
Maybe. So, how many? What number?
7 of them.
7. I mean, they could stretch the final 4 episodes into 2 weeks or so, because it would be...
Well, it's 7, 6, 5 next week, then 4 in a finale. No, that makes sense. So 2 more weeks.
Oh, yeah, 2 more weeks. Okay.
I want to see the Brooklyn. I don't know how she gets there. Unless she's like just so dominant on...
Just wins immunities. And
which, finds, to be fair,
or whatever.
She's the only person in the game who's done it so far. Now, with Simon gone. Like, because only her and Simon have won immunities at this point. So
I love a dominant immunity winner. So, hey, more power to Brooke. But we will see you next week with another episode of Survivor AU. Goodbye, everyone.